Welcome to Tori Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Vesser, and today we'll be studying Yecheskel Perek Mem Zayin, Chapter 47. Perek 47 is the last chapter about the Beit HaMikdash and the second to last chapter in Sefer Yecheskel. So far, we've learned about the measurements of the Beit HaMikdash, what material it's made out of, the kavod of Hashem that filled it, the locking of the gate behind the kavod of Hashem, the korbanot of the Chanukat HaMizbeach, the special family of Bnei Tzadok who will serve in the Beit HaMikdash and their laws, the role of the Nasi as a representative of the people and the laws that pertain to him. Now, in our last parak, we transition from the Beit HaMikdash into the rest of the world through a surreal and beautiful metaphor. Anyone who lived in ancient Israel would know and understand that one of life's greatest anxieties was the lack of consistent water. Living in a hot and dry climate and only having rain maybe for half the year produced tremendous uncertainty. Would there be enough rain, not only to use now, but to save for the dry months? Without rain, there would be no food, no growth, no life. We discussed in the Egypt Prekim that it's precisely this that was the source of Egypt's strength and hubris, their constant and ever-present source of water. When Yirmiyahu wants to express to Bnei Israel how they should only depend on Hashem and not on their idolatry that offers quick comfort but actually is a big lie, he compares Hashem to a makor mayim chayim, a source of flowing fresh water. And not just this idea of flowing fresh water, but the source of flowing water, an unending and powerful source that's truly the one sustaining you. This concept of the water metaphor is so powerful in this region and at this time. It is so fitting, then, that Yecheskel uses a water imagery to complete his vision of the Beit HaMikdash. The man with the measuring stick returns and escorts Yecheskel to the door of the Beit HaMikdash, Pasuk Aleph. V'yishiveni al petach habayit, v'hine mayim, yotzim, mitachat miftan habayit, kadima. He brings me back to the door of the house, and there's water coming out of the threshold in the east. Kipnei habayit kadim. The forefront of the house is towards the east, and the water came from under, from the right side of the house, minegev la mizbeach, on the south side of the mizbeach. Yecheskel then and the man leave through the northern gate of the Beit HaMikdash and then turn towards the east to meet up with the water that flowed eastward out of the Beit HaMikdash. Miriam Blumenthal points out that they probably can't use the eastern gate because it is closed even to them. Only Hashem can open the gate. The Malach and the Navi must walk around. The man then pulls out his measuring stick and measures 1,000 amot of distance. This long stream of water is shallow, and the man directs Yecheskel to enter it, which he does. Vayverini b'mayim me'afsayim. Yecheskel finds that the water comes up to his ankles. The man then measures another 1,000 amot, and they travel this length, and then he bids Yecheskel to enter it again. Vayverini b'mayim, mayim berkayim. Now it comes up to his knees. Again, they measure and travel 1,000 amot, and again Yecheskel enters. Vayverini mei matanayim. Now it's up to his hips. The man measures again, and again bids Yecheskel to enter, but this time he cannot. Ki ga'u hamayim mei Sachu Nachal Asher Lo Ya'aver, for the waters had risen, waters that you could swim in, and it was a river that he could not pass through. So the man returns Yecheskel to the bank of the river and exclaims in Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Elai, Haraita Ben Adam, Vyolichini Vyoshiveni Sfat HaNachal. He turns to me and says, "Have you seen it, son of man?" and goes no further, and returns Yecheskel to the banks of the river. That phrase, Haraita ben Adam, have you seen it, son of man, is the words of his last vision of Jerusalem in Prakim 8 through 11. Professor Yechiel Tzvi Moskowitz points out that everything that Yecheskel sees there in that Beit HaMikdash, of Bayit Rishon, the corrupt leaders, the people bowing to the sun, the images on the walls of the Beit HaMikdash, after each thing he sees, Hashem says to him, Haraita? Do you see it? Do you believe that this is happening in my most holy place? It's almost as if Hashem needs Yecheskel to understand why the Beit HaMikdash actually has to be destroyed. Haraita? It is not to be believed. The Dat Mikra continues and points out that we have been waiting in this vision, in the parallel vision, for the word Haraita. Have you seen it? But it's been absent. And here, in this vision, Yechezkel is only told that he has indeed come to see and report. The word ro'eh is there to see, but not hara'ita. And here's just an example in Parak Mem Pasuk Dalid, chapter 40, verse 4. Vayedaber elei ha'ish, the man says to me, this is right when Yechezkel gets here. Ben Adam, son of man, re'eh be'inecha, there it is, see with your eyes, u'baznecha shema, and hear with your ears, v'sim limcha, and pay attention the whole, asher ani mar'eh, there it is again, everything that I show you, ki leman har'otcha, for you to see it, huvatahena, you were brought here, hugad etash, et kol asher atat ro'eh libnei Yisrael, and you will tell everything that you see to Bnei Yisrael. So definitely the word is present, but in a very different sense. There's no incredulousness. There's no gizardin. There's no impending doom. There's just a wonderful and fulfilled seeing and then reporting. But now, in our last parak about the Beit HaMikdash, as Yechezkel stands on the banks and stares at the roaring river 4,000 amot away from the Beit HaMikdash, the Malach asked him, Haraita ben Adam, have you seen it, son of man? Have you seen how the circle is closed? Have you seen how the Beit HaMikdash, which had been so far gone to the point that the people in the Beit HaMikdash were spreading destructive advice from the Beit HaMikdash, and they were hiding their idolatrous practice inside it? Do you see that it will be rebuilt, and not only rebuilt? The Beit HaMikdash, which here in our description seems so separate from the people with the high wall around it and the empty space and the Kohanim and the king, is actually going to water the land. The building will be separate, but the influence, the positive influence, this time will be fully integrated and seeped into the land. It will be your Makor Mayim Chaim, source of flowing water. Can you believe it, Yechezkel, that just as your eyes saw the destruction, that is how your eyes will see the rebuilding. And again, not just the rebuilding as it was, but so much more. The blessings of Hashem will emanate from the Beit HaMikdash until they become like the Nile, an everlasting and unending force to bring goodness to all of the land of Israel. The river imagery of Yechezkel's vision does not stop with Yechezkel contemplating the abundance of water that flows from the Beit HaMikdash to the land, and does not end when Yechezkel sees the plethora of trees that line the banks of the water, ground that had once been dry and parched, but now is fertile and can support so much growth and so much greenery. But the capstone of the vision is where the water ends up. The water flows through Midbar Yudzah, down Route 60 through the desert of Yehudah, and begins to merge with another body of water, the Dead Sea. Says Pasuk Chet, Vayomer Elai, he says to me, Hamayin ha'ele yotzim el haglila hakadmona, v'yardu el ha'arava, uba'u hayama, el hayama hamutzaim, v'nirpu'u hamayim. This water is going to flow into the desert, and it will join this other body of water that's there, and the water will be healed. The imagery of the Dead Sea today is tourists floating in the water with their feet up reading a newspaper, or one of these big salt pieces that is formed in it. There are no fish, there's no greenery in the Dead Sea, nothing can live or grow there. There's too much salt, hence the name, the Dead Sea. This is the destination for Yechezkel's mighty river, which fills the contours of the Dead Sea. Instead of the salt content ruining the fresh water, as it does to the water that flows into it from the Jordan River, this water transforms the Dead Sea itself. V'nirpu'u hamayim, the water is healed. And then, pasuk tet, b'haya kol nefesh chaya asher yishrot el kol asher yavosham nachalim yeh. It will happen that every living creature with swarms in every place from where the river comes will live. There's going to be a tremendous amount of fish, because the water came there, and it healed it, and it will live. Everything that comes to where the river comes, suddenly the sea is crawling with life, fish, bugs, frogs, fishermen, the sounds and movement awaken from this dead space, greenery sprouts from its banks, nourished by the new water source. Like the dry bones, who never thought they had a chance for repair, the Dead Sea awakens and comes to life. Then says Pasuk Yudbet, Al Hanachal Ya'ale Al Sfato Mizeh Umizeh Kol Eitz Ma'achal Lo Yibol Alei lo yiton piryo l'chadashav yivaker ki miyamav min hamikdash hema yotzim. Vahaya piryo l'ma'achal v'alei l'trufa. Yechezkel starts to describe the riverbank, and he said, by the river on its bank, on this side and on that side, both sides, shall grow every tree for food. There's going to be fruit trees, and their leaves will not wither. The fruits will not fail. It's going to bring forth new fruit every month because its waters issue out of the Beit HaMikdash. And its fruit will be for food and its leaves for healing. The new water in the Dead Sea changes the entire ecosystem. Instead of a desert, which is where the Dead Sea is, think about the topography. There's a Dead Sea, but there's desert all around. And instead of this place of dryness, of water scarcity, of having water at your doorstep but not being able to drink it, the desert itself transforms into an orchard. The trees on the banks of the water remind us of David's description of the tzaddik in the first parak of Tehillim, where David says that the tzaddik will be v'haya ka'itz shatul al palgei mayim asher piryo yitein bi'ito v'aleihu lo yibol v'chol asher yaseh yatzliach. The tzaddik will be like a tree that's planted on the banks of the water, and its fruit, it gives in its time, its leaves never wither, and everything it does is successful. That's the picture of these trees. They're miraculous trees. They're not ordinary. They're trees that never wither. They're trees that always produce fruit. This new miraculous space is one that, like the water, is never ending. The Dead Sea has become Gan Eden. There are so many layers to this imagery. The idea of the Beit HaMikdash as the source of bracha, of goodness for the land, the concept of trust in Hashem as the true source of success in the region, the idea that, as Yeshayahu prophesies, Ki mitzion tetzei Torah, Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, that from Tzion, from Yerushalayim, comes Torah, and the word of Hashem emanates out of Yerushalayim. And while Yeshayahu's water source goes the opposite way, he has water streaming into the Beit HaMikdash, which represents the nations of the world coming to the Beit HaMikdash to learn from Hashem's ways. Both Yeshayahu and Yechezkel, while they do have different visions of the Messianic age, they both see the Beit HaMikdash impacting the land and spreading goodness. When the water of Yechezkel's river joins the Dead Sea and brings it back to life, the pasuk uses specific language to describe the transformation. By Yirpu Hamayim, the water was healed. This phraseology is only used two other times in Tanakh. One is at the very inception of our nation, right after the Jews stepped out of the Yamsuf and found the bitter waters of Mara. And the other when the people of Yericho ask Elisha to help change their poisonous water. In both cases, it seems like there wasn't only something wrong with the water. There was something also wrong with the people asking for the water. At Mara, the people complained, right after the greatest miracle of all times. And in the city of Yericho, as the Radak explains, the city was inhabited by people who didn't care that just recently the city had been built against the Chiram of Yehoshua. Against the direct command of Yehoshua not to build the city was built, and these are the people that moved right in. And here's what happens in Mara, the formative story of healing the water. I'm reading from Shmot. Vayalenu ha'am al Moshe. The nation complained to Moshe, Lemor manishteh. What are we going to eat? Vayitzak el Hashem. So Moshe calls out to Hashem, Vayireu Hashem eats. He shows him a branch, Vayishlach el Hamayim. He sends it into the water, Vayim Taku Hamayim. And the water is sweetened. Sham Sam Lo Chok Mishpat V'Sam Nasau. There they were taught about laws, and there they tested him. Vayomer. And Moshe says, Im shamoa tishma l'kol Hashem elokecha. If you listen to the voice of Hashem your God, v'hayashar v'einav tasen, you do what's right in his eyes, v'hazanta l'mitzvot tap, and you listen to his mitzvot, v'shamarta kol chukav, and you keep all of his laws, kol hamachala asher samti b'mitzrayim lo asim alecha, ki ani Hashem, and there's the word, rof echa. All the terrible diseases that I did in Mitzrayim, I will not do to you, because I am Hashem, your healer. Moshe didn't only sweeten the water, he healed it. The healing of the water represents the healing of the people. It was in Mara that they got the first mitzvot, the understanding of commandedness for the first time. It was in Mara that they were told that they cannot only expect goodness from Hashem, they must also fulfill their obligations and listen to the mitzvot. And that will keep them from getting the plagues of Egypt. The same could be said of Jericho. By healing the water, Elisha performed his first act of kindness towards a people who chose to live in a city that was cursed. Perhaps by modeling himself after Marah, he was also teaching the people not only to not complain, but also how to heal themselves. Yechezkel's visions in this part of the Sefer are not only a prescription of the bracha that will emanate from the Beit HaMikdash, but there will be a sense of healing when the Jews take on their obligation of commandedness and revive their kindness towards each other. A nation that was called Sodom in chapter 16 of Yechezkel, and you know the Dead Sea emanates from the story of Sodom. The Dead Sea represents what the Jewish people were, how they were acting. A nation that was destroyed because of it and then sent to languish in exile will once again reclaim not only their land and not only their flourishing, but their inner goodness, their connection to Hashem, their mandate as the children of Avraham Avinu. The second part of the perek that begins in Pasuk 13 begins to explain the division of the land. The sense of kindness and fairness is present here as well. At first, we learn about all the different borders of the land, and then we learn about the specific portions of each shevet, and that is going to be discussed in the next chapter. However, in this perek, the last two psukim discuss one thing that will be different than what happened in the first time they divided the land in the time of Yehoshua. Pasuk Kafet, Vayata pilu ota benachala lachem, that when you divide this land as an inheritance, ulahagerim hagarim betochachem, you are going to give a part to the gerim who live amongst you, to the stranger, to the convert, asher holidu banim betochachem, who have children amongst you. Vayu lachem ke'ezrach bebnei Yisrael, and they will be like to you as if they were born there. Itchem yapolu benachala, they will have a nachala, they will have an inheritance also betoch shiftei Yisrael amongst the tribes. Pasuk kaf gimel, vaya b'shevet asher gar hager ito, whichever shevet that the ger, the convert, lives there, sham titnu nachlato, that is where his nachala will be. Ne'um Hashem Elokim. Before discussing what will happen to Reuven, Shimon, Levi, or Yehuda, the text turns its attention to a minority group, converts, who live in Israel. In the time of Yehoshua, the convert had no nachala. This is one reason why there's a special mitzvah not to oppress him or her. However, before addressing the needs and locations of the children of Yaakov, Yechezkel addresses this stranger, this convert. In the time of Yechezkel, they too will have an inheritance forever to pass down to their children. One of the major problems of the society of the first Beit HaMikdash was the oppression of those who were too weak to defend themselves in the society, including the ger, the yatom, and the almana, the stranger, the widow, and the orphan. Now we solidify the position of the ger before anyone else. He too will have permanence. He too will stand as a symbol of the just society that is now beginning to unfold. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilei Nishmas Barbara Atlas Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.